Hello, lovely hogs. Andrew here, and we are so excited to bring Trusty Hogs Live all over the world. Yes, as you listen to this, we have one date left in Australia at the Sydney Factory Theatre. That is on the 27th of April. And then we are back in the Northern Hemisphere with Dublin. Yes, we are so excited to come to Ireland for the first time. We're bringing Trusty Hogs Live to the Laughter Lounge on the 4th of June. Tuesday the 4th of June in Dublin, there's going to be an Irish history lecture from Heather. There's going to be drunken karaoke. There's going to be problem solving. All sorts of chaos. All the usual. It is not to be missed. Make sure you get your tickets early because we are expecting to sell out. TrustyHogs.com/tour for all the tickets and info. That's Dublin on the 4th of June. Then we are into July with Bristol, Brighton, Edinburgh in August, London at the Clapham Grand on the 16th of October, and then we close out our tour in Manchester on the 6th of November. So make sure you go to TrustyHogs.com/tour. Get your tickets quick because some of these are already sold out. Some of them are very nearly there, and we cannot wait to see you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Oh, welcome to episode 134 of our podcast.
No, we're not doing a song at the beginning. No
way. My name is Helen Bauer.
No.
This is Catherine Bohart. We're comedians. We sing.
No, we don't.
We dance.
No, we don't.
Act.
Please make it stop.
We act.
We do act. To be fair, we act. We act. We act up.
Through the fog, step forth the trusty hogs. Yeah, you're gonna give them your problems and they will solve them. Or maybe they won't, and that's your problem. They'll have guests and Andrew White on the tech. Oh, it's Helen and Catherine as the trusty hogs. Trust the trusty hogs, or maybe not.
Hello, welcome to episode 134 of Trusty Hogs, the podcast where we tell you about our perfect lives and we help you solve your listener problems. Mm-mm. And today we have, I think, like, the biggest guest we've ever had.
I mean, the coolest.
The fucking coolest.
That is awesome. Such a slam on all our...
I stand by it. I can't believe they're on our podcast. I'm so fucking hyped. Today, I'm just going to say, I'm going to spaff it because otherwise I'll keep talking because we just recorded with them. Hannah Gatsby was
it's
here.
It's Hannah Gatsby.
That was cool. I can't fucking believe it.
That was cool.
That was so cool.
I loved it.
I loved it. Oh my God, they're so nice.
I loved it. I mean, I've got thoughts on my social anxiety stuff.
Oh my God, just let them listen to it first. Enjoy.
But we're just going to quickly catch you up on what we're doing before we bring Hannah in.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry, it won't be long because we want you to get you our guest. But holy heck.
They'll be skipping ahead at this point.
Oh, undoubtedly people are fast forwarding. They're zooming ahead. They're like thinking, yikes, what did Helen say? And yikes, Catherine must have been stressed. And yikes, did they type out the questions in advance so that they didn't make any mistakes? Yes. Is that obvious on the podcast? Yes. Did they stick to them? No. But did we try? Hell yeah. People are fast forwarding through this, so it's fine. Hello. How are you?
On my period.
Oh, for God's sake, you are always on your period.
I have not been since I've been here.
That can't be true. How come I heard about it every single day?
Because I've been gearing up to it because I was a couple of days late.
You're gearing up to it from the second it ends, it feels like.
Absolute nightmare.
Why?
Light colored jeans didn't bring anything period appropriate, really.
Oh, just to wear clothes-wise?
Constantly risk. Absolutely. Before my show yesterday... Because we're both doing like hour-long shows at the Melbourne Comedy Festival at the moment. Like, I was like, I don't trust my cup. I don't trust it. Gosh. So I wedged toilet paper in there.
Yings.
As soon as my show was finished, I went for a drink with a friend who was in the audience. And then went straight into the queue to go see Guy Montgomery's show. During the day when it started, I was wearing a cream dress because we were at the pool together. And then we went to that rooftop bar, which was amazing.
Oh, Naked for Satan.
Loved it.
It was so lush, wasn't it? Yeah, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous
bar. Did that thing where, you know, you're like, I'm going to roll up toilet roll and whack it between the lips.
Yikes.
And just like, that's just my double protection. During Guy Montgomery's show, which is amazing.
Nathan, our tech, is like a sigh of a man right now, truly.
He's loving it. It's feminism, Nathan.
Is it feminism?
And basically, it's feminism. And I had it wedged in, and I was watching Guy Montgomery's show, and I was like, this is an uncomfortable wedge. But the audience is so full, you don't really have room to, like...
You can't open.
No. Yeah. So then went to go see Sam Campbell's show, straight from Guy's show.
You're testing that tissue. These are big laughs,
this
guys.
Is insane. These are big laugh boys. The tissue was being tested. Yes. I was howling laughing. And I had to go to the toilet before Sam's. And I was like, this is going to be a peel away. Gosh. Oh, my God. Gosh. My labia will never be the same.
Oh, gosh.
Never. But I'm okay now.
But sometimes it's nice. You got a free wax at the same time.
So you know, much
sometimes it's
off.
Nice. It's nice. That's cheap.
So
why
much.
Why not? Yeah. Listen.
But I've been thriving. I've seen so many nice shows.
I'm so glad. I'm desperate to see so many people still. I was going to say something to you. Oh, yeah. Which is that a listener sent us a voucher for Fluffy Torpedo. We should go there after.
We're going there straight.
Should
after
we go
this.
For a period ice cream?
We have to, because we went for ice cream the other day.
Oh, that was lovely.
And it was lovely. I think I made I didn't do the right flavor combination.
What was that place called? That was heaven on earth.
It's round the corner from the Fitzroy public pool.
God, it was good. Sort of like it's got like taps of sauce, and I got this roasted pumpkin and roasted pumpkin. That'd be awful. Well, no, it was roasted pineapple, brown sugar and coconut ice cream. Fuck, it was delicious.
That was incredible.
It was
that
actually
one.
The nicest ice cream I've ever had. So Fluffy Torpedo has a lot to, Fluffy Torpedo feels like the name for your perioding vagina.
Ew, Catherine.
I'm not sorry.
Ew.
What, ew to me? You literally said that the tissue was line. A peel away. Oh
we
my God.
Found
fuck
the
you.
Line. We
no,
found
we
the line.
We found the line. No, we haven't. Oh my God. Yesterday I had my first alone day.
Oh my God. Tell me everything.
Okay. So.
You're first? Of course. You're first.
Yeah. My first alone day, because Ellen was here for the first 2 weeks. And also I've just been like, there's been so much work to do. I mean, I peeled myself off the bed and went to the show. I wish I hadn't said peeled off. Anyway, I went to my show.
I know the feeling. It's a warm country.
It's the first day I was just like, I'm just going to say no to any of it. I'm just like saying no. I'm having a day for Catherine. And the problem is that they're addictive, because now I just want to be in bed watching television, because I watch Baby Reindeer. All I want to do is watch television all day for the next 5 days, but I've got work to do.
I want to see that so bad.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Shout out Richard Gadd.
Shout out Richard Gadd. I'm sure he listens. But I'll say this. First of all, it was heaven. I never give myself permission to just do nothing.
You don't.
I never do. And I always am like, you got to get out of the flat, blah, 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 blah. But I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to, I slept and dozed and ate and mooched and watched. But there is always that tipping point. And it's always the same point where I think, you know, this will be so good for me. I need a day off. But if you don't go outside, as you start to watch the sunset, I find I get weird.
Yeah, obviously.
And the fact that I wasn't outside in the sun at all, I thought it was going to be so good for me, but I think maybe there's a point where I was like, oh, maybe I should have gone for a walk in the daylight. Maybe it wasn't good for me. No, I just mean like when I got to my show, I realized they were the first people, and this is a bad thing sometimes, they were the first people I'd spoken to.
I've done that so many times.
Now, as it happens, it turns out I had a great show because I was desperate to chat.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like I was like, hey, everybody. And they were like, whoa. Like I was like, has everyone been to the first people I've talked to all day? And they were like, yikes, because this woman has no friends.
No, that's my favorite day though. Just talking on stage.
Yeah. And then like to talk, but not be interrupted and then head home. Delicious.
It's so, I can't believe that's your first one you've done, because this has been like this is nearly the end of a month.
Yeah.
And that is like, and it's not like you're just like hanging out during the day. We're in like groups. It's like you're on, and it's not like you're in a city that you, I mean, we know a bit I now, but we don't quite, know it.
I get quite distrustful of myself when I have a hotel room, because I think if I start at the start by staying in all day, that will be my whole month. Like I'll be alone for the whole thing. And that's all very well and good at a certain point, but I got to have some guiding principles, like leave the house in the morning, see people, because I am an introvert by nature.
Yeah.
And I would probably get weird. I wouldn't say I haven't got weird, but I've staved off the weird pretty well. And I knew at the end I would be more likely to do it. So I just thought, just wait, because now it's all I want to do. I've like had complete, I get complete, like I feel like my social battery's gone now. I've used it and I don't have anything to recharge it with. I'm like, I've had a lovely time, but you would never see your friends every day at home.
The social, I have like chill days in London. Like Sunil's like, what's today? And I'm like, chill day. And it's like, don't really talk to anyone. I just watch TV. I just lounge around. I potter.
I never really do that. I'm realizing while I'm here, I'm quite a rigid person. Like I have like real routines. And I'm very
chill day is a routine.
But I'm very severe with myself when I don't, you know, like like I haven't gotten used to the fact that I'm not really working here. Like I just haven't been able to. There's like it feels like London doesn't exist when I'm in Australia. I don't know why. It's so weird to have no object permanence. I just really feel like, I think I've said this already, but I keep getting emails being like, "Huh, people keep emailing Catherine. How weird. Catherine doesn't exist. Catherine's in the upside down." And so, but I'm really not able to get balance. I'm either working too much or telling myself that I'm a shit for not working. Like I never get to take a day off without guilt. How do you do that?
I mean, I might feel guilty. And then if I feel super guilty, then I just do some work.
God, you're smart. But then I would always work all the time, which I kind of do usually.
Do you feel guilty all the time then if you're not working?
Yeah,
that's tricky then. Because I think, I think I'm able to reward myself more maybe than you are naturally.
I got to get better at treats.
But it's also like, it's good for your long-term health.
Yeah, you're right.
To like take a day off.
But then I procrastinate. So what I'll do is like give myself like, oh, if I just do this one thing, I can take the day off and then I'll spend the whole day not doing it and then just feel like shit all day. Why do I do that? What's that about?
That's just life. That's just life. You procrastinate. But I think this idea that you have to be, if you're not doing something, then you're doing nothing. Like, but it's okay to do nothing.
Yeah.
Like take.
I really grew up in one of those houses that was like, you know, like if you weren't up at like, if you came downstairs at like 9:30, mm-hmm. people were like, afternoon.
Yeah.
And you're like,
fucking
you
hell.
Know, like really like
oh my god, I so know what you mean.
Sitting watching the telly wasn't like a legitimate thing. It was like we do all the things first and then we will reward ourselves with the television in the evening if we've done like enough things. But like it was always described as like sitting around. You're just gonna sit around.
My parents were so funny about the TV, and I was the TV addict in my household.
Yeah, me too.
Like my sister would watch like a film or something.
Yeah.
And my brother would watch it every now and again. But I would be like, I love TV.
Yeah, me
too.
But
I still love it here. I'm at the biggest like arts festival in probably like this side of the world.
Yeah.
And what have I done so far? I've watched the Beckham documentary.
Is it good?
It's so good.
Heaven on Earth. I've watched all of Girls 5 Ever, all three seasons.
So is Olga.
Oh, she's been watching Girls 5 Ever. I've absolutely loved it.
I've had Schitt's Creek on in the background.
Heaven on Earth, yeah.
I'm reading my book. It's good. And also it's just timed for your brain to mull it over.
Yeah.
Also, like the people here are amazing, but they're not disappearing at the end of the month. They still exist past it.
Yeah. Oh no.
Do you feel guilty about taking the day off yesterday, like in retrospect, or are you happy?
Yeah, I always feel, I mean, I feel bad about the whole month. Like I haven't done enough, blah, blah, blah. Like, hello, welcome to my brain.
But the job here is to go on stage each night. And I've got a to-do list that I wrote on the plane coming out here of what I was going to get done whilst I was in Melbourne. And it was like things like record Trusty Hogs episodes and do Trusty Hogs Live.
Oh, you put achievable goals on.
Open my show. But I also put on some things like write a full script treatment for this, write 15 pages of this. They haven't happened.
Yeah.
But then what I do is I cross out to do before end of Melbourne on the to-do list and I change it to do end of Brisbane, let's say.
My Sydney has suddenly become packed.
How?
You won't see me because I'll be working.
But we're not doing Hogs in the Day. We're not recording episodes.
No,
so
we're doing a live.
We've got a live.
I'm so excited. I fucking loved the live Melbourne.
It was really
they
good.
They were legends.
Wasn't it so
also,
fun?
Also, shout out to the Melbourne audiences on your boundaries. love it. I don't know whether or not, like, we've talked about it more recently, but, like, everyone's, like, gives Helen a hug and then, like, nods to me, and I adore them for it. Everyone's very, like, we've talked for enough time now. Peace out. I love them.
We loved it.
Yeah, real good eggs.
I'm glad I got to do my song and dance routine as well.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, you certainly did that.
If you're a patron, obviously, you can witness it and see it in full. But it was the most
incredible. I'm excited for Sydney Live. Go on Patreon. Me too. I'm so hyped.
I met someone yesterday who's coming to the Sydney Live. I was on the street having a drink with my friend. And they were just like, Helen Bauer. And I was like, yeah. And you were like, oh, do I know them?
I know, so stressful.
And he was like, I saw you in Sydney last year. I'm coming to Trusty Hogs Live next week. I was like,
oh, hey. That's heaven on earth. Oh my God. In the most Irish incident ever, I had a gorgeous show the other night. And then this girl came up to me afterwards and she was like, hi, I'm your parents' neighbor's daughter. And I was like, of course you are. Oh, and your dad's doing my sister's wedding in a few months. I was like, of course he is. Ireland never changed.
That's
you can't go
crazy.
Anywhere. You can't go anywhere without running into us.
But
like.
That's nice, though.
I know.
Isn't it?
Every time.
All
every
done
time.
With love.
Oh my God, it was heaven on earth. And she was such a nice audience member. And also, we sent a picture to our parents, and they were both like, oh my God.
Okay, you have got faster.
Oh, yeah, I know. Sorry.
That was That was incredible.
I spent a day alone. Speaking. I spent a day alone. So the only person I'm talking to is myself, and sure, I have an Irish accent.
But you do talk out loud to yourself, which is nice.
I do. But I do that when there's people.
But you're going to take a day off in Sydney as well, I think.
Yeah, I want to do that walk with you and Olga from Bondi to...
No, I need a day off.
Yeah, the walk to... That's a day off for me is walking.
Yeah.
Bondi to what's it called?
Coogee.
Nice.
Coogee Beach. It looks really lovely.
What's the food that... Kedgeree. What's Kedgeree?
Kedgeree, that's a UK thing.
Isn't that
like smoked haddock or mackerel, I think.
In potato.
In like rice and stuff.
Oh, in rice.
I think so. That's how my mum made it. Kedgeree.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's called Coogee Beach.
Coogee Beach.
But you should do a day in Sydney as well. I'm going to do that. Because people, some people here are like, oh, the shows are nearly finished. Shows are nearly finished. But we're still on tour. Like, you're going back to the UK to do tour.
I'm starting a tour.
Another... I've got another 3 weeks of touring in Australia.
Yeah. It is funny, everyone being like, it's almost finished. And I'm looking at you like, five more weeks, bitch. Five more weeks. Have a great time. Love you, bye. But I realize I'm going home and I have a job the day after I land. And,
no.
And,
oh my God, what is it? Do I know?
No, but I'll tell you after. Guys, remind
me. Oh my God, I have to
know. Put a pin in it, remind me, because the lesbians will want to know what I'm doing when I... Okay, we'll circle
back. The lesbians, fuck the lesbians. I want to know now.
Put a pin in it. I'll tell you when it's happened.
Okay, let's just bring on our guests then.
Okay, fine.
Okay,
please,
and then you tell me.
Please, welcome to the... That's a terrible... We've all we've said so far is I'm...
They're amazing. They're amazing. You're going to love them. It's the incredible Hannah Gadsby.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's me, Catherine Bohart, and I'm going on tour. My show is called Again With Feelings. And oh my gosh, you guys, I would absolutely love if you bought a ticket in advance, because people keep sending me emails about the places that aren't selling well, and it's very stressful. So I'm doing Macfest in Wales. I'm doing Brighton, Aldershot, Edinburgh, Glasgow, York, Newcastle, Norwich, Winchester, Cambridge, Oxford, Bath, Birmingham, Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool. I'm now doing Bolton. We're adding Bolton. Sheffield, Exeter, Corsham, Bristol, Coventry, Guildford, Portsmouth, Swindon, Dublin, and then I'm back in London. But the point is, I have a lot of tickets to sell, and I'm not really sleeping. So grab a ticket. Hey, grab a ticket at CatherineBohart.com. You'd go, wouldn't you, Helen?
I've been. I loved it.
Have you been?
Leicester.
Oh, you went to a work in progress. Yeah. Yes, that's true. But it's going to be better than that even, I hope.
And also, you're going to have the best time in Bolton. It's my favourite accent in the UK. Bolton. Bolton. Hello.
I guess I'll find out what it is when I get there. Yeah. Please come to the tour.
Welcome to the podcast. It's Hannah Gadsby.
Hannah Gadsby, how are you?
Oh, great. The level of enthusiasm here is admirable.
Is it? We're trying. This is genuinely us trying to be demure when actually we're freaking out. We're so excited. Mainly, I'm hyped because there's a dog in the studio. I'm no offense, but I'm so excited that there's a dog. What kind of dog do we have in the studio, please?
It is a Lagotto Romano.
Wow,
I know.
Wait, a what?
Lagotto Romano.
It sounds like a fancy coffee.
It could be. It is. She is. They are.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hannah. Actually, sorry. Thank you. Bad time, actually. Good.
I don't know. Italian water dog. Truffle hunter.
She's freaking gorgeous. And she's being so good.
A water dog?
She's got webbed feet. Guess a little swims.
Stop it. Seriously?
We're so gullible. I did not know those existed. No,
I regret telling the truth.
Yeah, you really could have said anything. Like, breathes underwater. We'd have been like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you about my favorite dog?
Yes, please.
My friend Emma Colpus, when I was younger, had a big golden retriever, morbidly obese, gorgeous thing.
They never know when to start eating.
Never knew. And the family were like, here we go, here we go.
Still hungry.
And this dog, like, they were like, it needs so much exercise. And we would take it on a walk, and after six steps, it would lie down and it knew the direction home and would not be fooled. And it was just
amazing.
So confident in its own lack of abilities.
I really respect that. My godparents had a giant golden retriever called Cisco, who was a very, very enthusiastic barbecue attendee who would like also just chase around being like, please feed me, please feed me, please feed me. Like he was starving when also quite an overweight dog. Oh, they're so good.
We've done this thing with Nuna, whereas we don't give her any human food and she's a little bit clueless.
Oh, you're so smart. See, the thing is, my brother has a tiny, tiny, tiny chihuahua who rules the roost and Pip gets made his dinner every day and eats things like salmon and rice for dinner. And it's like, well, then you're on the hook forever.
I can't even manage that for myself.
Do you know what I mean?
That's just, like, I struggle to get, to make myself a wholesome meal. That sounds like something I should eat.
Completely reasonable. Yeah, yeah. Peter will be like, my brother will be like eating a pizza while feeding the dog scrambled eggs. And you're like, how has this happened? How has this occurred? Yeah, it's impressive. I guess that's love. Oh my God, she's so cute. I must stay focused. Right. We are in Melbourne, the beautiful city that is. You live here?
I do.
Any recommendations? We only have a week left. What should we absolutely do?
Well, I feel like you might be busy with the festival.
It's an hour a day.
Yeah, but it is it?
No, emotionally, it's 25 hours a day.
Like, how long does it, like, the ramp up to your show, do you start just going, I can't do anything else?
15 minutes before.
15 really?
Minutes before. What about
oh, God,
you?
No, I'm like, my show's at 7:25. Realistically, from 4:30, I'm a wreck.
Is this new information to you? Are you both shocked by your answers?
No, that's completely right.
Consistent feedback?
Yeah. What about you?
Ooh. Didn't get any.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm so sorry. Hannah went to...
For the benefit of the listener, Hannah went to drink some water and Catherine was like, we're chatting. We're having family time.
But it's also half empty, so you can't, like, a sip is...
You're not sipping from the top. There's a delay.
No, I had to really... I didn't get that. I got it at 3, like, 45 degrees.
And no, I want you to have this. Me and Catherine will talk. What's your plan for Christmas?
Well, no, I'm not going to talk about Christmas. What I will say is this. You can drink this. Is that during my show, I have one of those twisty bottles. And because I talk so
Time's
fast...
Time's up. Go.
No, because I talk so fast during my shows, the break to unscrew the water bottle feels like it wouldn't on anybody else's show. So interminable that everyone's like, please, Jesus, say something so I never get to drink any water.
Well, I usually have a bottle of water with a little sippy straws.
Oh, you're clever.
No, because then...
A pro.
Well, kind of. But then you have to do that in front of people.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just like, I'm like, great, I'm so clever. And it is, like, for the environment, don't mind if I do it. And it's like... And it's like, it always just looks so juvenile every time. But this year, Jenny is setting it up and... My producer and I said, we're in the arts centre this year. Let's have glasses.
Yeah, live a little.
Yeah. And then she said, well, which glass do you want? And there were two options and I couldn't decide. So she put both of them on the chair. It's like, yeah, I'll just. And then I made myself make that decision I couldn't do alone.
That's so impressive.
In front of, no, I can't. I don't drink on stage. It's just two glasses. Every time I go to have a drink, I'm like, I don't know which glass to have it out of.
Really? I thought the panic would force you into a decision. That's so ridiculous.
I just walk over and I'm like, oh, I can't.
No, you seriously. Mm.
We need to find a solution to
that. Yeah, that's crazy.
That is unsustainable to dehydrate yourself on stage every day for an hour because you're looking at two glasses.
Not least because you put a riddle on stage. What is that?
Someone needs to make a choice on your behalf at that point.
What happens if you do drink one? Does a door open? Does a trap door go?
We'll never know. I'll do it the last night, I guess.
That's such a pity, but I also understand the stress of it.
Do you know there are some, and I haven't done a full survey, but it's only guys I know of that do this.
Okay.
They brag, this is like, I never drink water on stage.
That feels like a male comic.
My audience doesn't pay to see me drink, and I'm like, I don't think they care.
But also those men definitely drink beer on stage. Right. Like they 1,000% drink beer on stage, but they don't pay to see me drink. Good Lord. Wow.
Do you ever get the like... You're like, I don't want water, but you put a fizzy drink on stage and then you have to deal with the gas. Oh,
no, I've never.
Me neither. I wouldn't. No. That be stupid.
Helen's the act I've seen burp most on stage.
I'm like gurgling.
Yeah.
Like from acid reflux sometimes on stage.
She always eats too late. This is the burden of also being 15 minutes. Yeah.
So you have like a full three course.
Not a three course meal. I say two small dinners.
Yeah.
One full burrito, one Hungry Jacks.
Yeah, I get it.
And then, but I'm like, oh, it's all right. Cause it's like the adrenaline will take over the over fullness. And then I end up like gurgling.
What adrenaline is.
But adrenaline, no, No.
Please.
Adrenaline removes everything else from your body because you can have a cold and then you go on stage and you don't sneeze.
It's called Dr. Floodlights, but that's not, it doesn't remove
Doctor
stuff. Who? Floodlights.
Oh, they say Dr. Theatre in the UK. Dr. Floodlights.
Floodlights.
So no,
that's roo shooting. No, footlights. Footlights. Oh, man.
Doctor, that's roo shooting. No, stop. I'm not going to be judged, okay, by someone who just said, oh, no, that's roo shooting because I eat too late before my meal.
I just loved the idea of floodlights. I was like, wow, Hannah's playing much bigger gigs than me. They're like, well, that'll be the floodlights will sort me out. Wow, okay.
You're a drive-in movie theatre. Doctor Floodlights. No, but I feel like you don't get ill on stage, right? It's like I can have really bad hay fever and then be on stage and I'm not like sneezy and scratchy.
I haven't had this experience, but maybe because my adrenals have just...
What's adrenal?
That's where your adrenaline
the
comes
glands.
From.
Oh, right. Yeah.
This is fascinating. I'm enjoying this interaction.
I'm a nice person, but not very bright.
I feel akin.
Wait, are you not very bright either?
No, I'm not a very nice person.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No, I'm joking. No, I struggle with my intelligence.
I think that you're both smart, but I can see how the gaps meet each other.
Yeah.
And that's a fascinating
so
interaction.
Many holes.
So many holes.
I do understand the cold. I don't understand, like, you know, when you're feeling a bit, and hangovers, it's a great cure for hangovers.
Yeah.
But not food that's physically sitting in your belly.
Yeah.
And then, also a wisdom tooth. I had a wisdom tooth,
ow.
Impacted wisdom tooth on stage. The floodlights didn't get rid of that.
No, I'll bet they wouldn't.
Jesus. Brake lights, no good.
No. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I had a broken leg.
Yeah, fuck you. Did you do shows with a broken leg?
Yeah, that didn't help.
Did you have to sit down?
I was in a wheelchair for some of that.
See?
And raked seating. I know, the rake stage was, have you ever been just slightly
so you're slightly reeling down.
Yeah.
No, you weren't. No, stop it.
Yeah, in Glasgow. And it's like, and then and we were just doing a sound check and they're like, I said, this feels a little tense. Because, yeah, I didn't want to put the brakes on because you have to have, I feel obliged to have movement. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
But then I'd like do a bit of gesticulation and just drift forward. And then there was, they said, no, there's a little board at the front. So it's like flat stage and then just like a little.
What kind of reassurance is to be like, no, there's
and
a
I'm
natural
like, oh,
break.
So the wheelchair will stay on stage.
Yeah.
And then there was a net there because it was the orchestra pit. And the net was there not for me but for the magician. Who was the magician, Jenna? Darren Brown was on.
You played the same venue as Darren Brown?
Not a magician, a mentalist, and we must remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's be respectful, please.
Who are we being respectful
of?
Darren.
Okay. I was going to say of magicians.
I thought ghosts. Are they in here? Where are we going with this? Oh, yeah, it was there because when he hypnotises people, they can sometimes fall off. And so it was there for them. Yeah.
Wow.
And I just imagine
straight people are crazy.
Aren't they?
They're wild.
Thank you.
The stuff they get
Thank
up
you.
To. You're mad. Hey,
are you
okay.
straight?
Yeah.
Oh, you're mad.
Why?
I don't know. I was just following.
All right.
Why?
We
never get to do this. It's fun. Come on, let us have it. Okay, so you won't tell us what to do in Melbourne. What about this?
I don't do anything. What sort of things do you like to do? I don't.
I guess
really
I just thought. I thought you'd
time.
Have
I
like
just
a.
Tried to have a drink.
Do you have like a favorite place to eat or drink?
Oh,
but then
I'm
you don't want
drinker.
To tell people because ultimately,
oh, that's true.
They'll go to them.
Oh, yeah.
How about this instead? How about you tell us, because this one's quite useful, and it's the last week of the festival, where would you say is the best place for a public cry?
This is an interesting question.
Thank you.
I don't cry.
Right.
The only time I cry is on an aeroplane.
I understand. I'm not a big crier, but I have this thing with my girlfriend where if I think an ordinary person would be crying, I say crying.
You start crying?
No, I say crying.
You say crying.
So, because I'm...
Wait,
I don't know.
What?
Paint a picture.
I'll explain again. I have
She's Irish
OCD. No, I have OCD. So I'm on quite like strong anti-anxiety, antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
And often I feel like where if I were not medicated, I would be crying.
Okay.
But I can't cry. So I'll say crying.
You'll say the word out loud.
I'll say like I would so that she knows that like I would be crying.
It's like this.
That's so frightening. I'm sorry.
No, because can I say why?
Well, I was just like, maybe a few words around it, or you're just like crying.
We have shorthand now, because, yeah. But like, I guess I feel like.
It's like when I say dog. I'm yeah, not a dog. Yeah.
Except like.
I'd be a dog if I could.
Oh my God, me too. The dream life. That's the fucking dream life.
Dog, but you're not dogging.
Yeah, and that is important.
And you're very specific. And you know what? Live your life.
Yeah.
And I've always said
wow,
that.
Wow, I really thought this would be more easily understandable, and now I feel exposed.
No. I think it's just that crying on a plane is like scientifically more likely to happen. Like,
what's
apparently you are more emotional in that air that pressure.
No, it must be physiological. I refuse to believe I'm more emotional.
I read something. I once Googled it on my life because I cry every single flight.
That is not a Trump card.
On my life, I Googled it. Adam, please. I really love and respect you. I need you to like this theory.
Is it not a Trump card?
You do. Because, like, right, you watch Marley and Me on Earth and you get emotional. You get in the air, you will not breathe.
No.
You will, and you will get a face rash from crying.
No, do you know the secret of Marley and Me? It's just called Me.
Oh my God, even the dog's upset about the movie.
I know, it's triggering to Nina. But no,
that's the most awful thing I've ever had. The sequel to Marley and Me is called Me.
Is it? Oh God, that's tragic.
Works as that's a synopsis maybe. For the first
Hello,
film
Nina.
Too. But
Hello.
I cried watching Marley and Me over someone's shoulder. No sound.
No, stop it.
So they're watching it on their little screen and I'm just like,
Did you not feel like a real pervert?
And it's not. It was as the film started. I've never seen the film, but I know it happens. Like, there's no starring dog in a film that doesn't die, except Benji. Except he's dead now.
Beethoven.
You're so right. Oh, Beethoven.
He does all right by the end.
He does, but there's lots of different dogs in there.
Oh no! I was like, Babe, gosh. And they went through like so many
it's
different
alive.
Pigs.
It's alive.
Milo and Otis. Do you remember? Did you ever the Milo and Otis film?
No.
It was a bad film when I was a kid. It was like a cat and a pug just go on like a journey.
I would love this. Why Milo and Otis?
It's real wild. It's a wild film, but it's so clearly not made under the auspices of animal protection. There is a scene where like a cat gets cornered on the top where these birds are like, you know, coming and pecking at it.
Jesus.
And it's like, oh, I'm at a cliff. I don't have any other option. And then cut to the camera's at the bottom of the cliff.
No.
And there's a cat. Like they threw a cat over a cliff to get that shot. Like it is a wild.
Still want to watch
Maybe
it.
Maybe it was Not a stunt cat.
Myself.
Maybe it was a stunt. You don't know. Maybe it had trained.
I looked it up once.
On your Googled, life, you Googled it?
On my life, I Googled it.
That's not the Trump card you think it is.
You tell them. Well, you had a question about Neil, didn't you, Helen? And there are no segues at this podcast, but that's all right.
We've never had someone from Tasmania on the podcast.
No, but I lived in Tasmania before Neil made himself.
But
known.
You know the community and you know the world.
I do know the world.
The listener might not, so please explain.
I also know that who wouldn't play with
Neil?
Traffic cones.
Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know, there's a seal that lives in Tasmania called Neil, and completely unaware that they're a seal, genuinely believe full human. They come onto land every day, they play with traffic cones, they go up to people's houses, they knock on the door, they ruin their cars, they ruin the garage doors. My sister is literally obsessed. I get like 5 different updates about Neil throughout the day. Like, we are fully into this little adorable fuck. And every single night now, the police on Tasmania have to go and, like, scream.
Is this still happening?
Yeah.
I thought he got removed. Where is he being put now?
He's being put back in the water each night, but they've given up in the day. They're like, you know what? He'll do what he wants to do. But in the evening, these Tasmanian police are like, right, Neil, it's bedtime. Back you go. And it's so freaking good.
I know. Yeah, I know this. I know this.
But did you ever like have seals coming up into your house when you were little?
No.
Oh, what?
I was from the northwest coast. So the seals hang around the colder parts of Tasmania, which is the south.
Oh.
Or in Hobart. We had, what did we have?
Quokkas.
That's Western Australia. Oh, not Nest Island.
Kangaroos.
Paddy melons.
What are paddy melons?
Yeah.
I feel like,
not what
I
you
feel,
think
yeah,
are.
I feel,
yeah.
That feels xenophobic.
Just a little. No, they're like sort of. Little kangaroos, tiny kangaroos. Like, I feel like kangaroos.
That's so cute.
Australia is full of kangaroos. It's like there's the big kangaroo, and then there's like a Russian doll.
Oh, kangaroos
all the way down to mice.
Like fairy kangaroos.
Yeah.
All the way down to mice. Are mice and kangaroos the same?
No, okay. But we have native kangaroos that are so little and they hop around and you're like, that's got to be a mouse. And it's like,
stop it.
You just killed a marsupial. No, I've never done that, but nope, have you not said done that. You said roo shooting earlier. I did, didn't I? I've never been roo shooting.
Is roo shooting a genuine thing?
Yeah. I'm from that part of the world, you know, where they get the trucks and the floodlights, Dr. Floodlights. And go roo shooting. I've never done it, don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable, but it is part of my world.
If anybody's watching on the YouTube, feel free to go back and watch my dead eyes as I didn't know what roo shooting was earlier, but laughed along. And now watch the penny drop. Kangaroos?
What did you think it was?
I don't know. I just thought it was like a farming thing.
Yeah.
Which I guess it is, but yeah. Fuck you. They call them.
Well, in some places, yeah. Yeah,
look, are there no laws against charge. It? Okay.
I don't think you can do it willy-nilly. I think that, I don't know.
It depends on the personality
it's
of the
room. It's just a thing Bogans do sometimes, but that was back in the day.
Oh, they boxed the kangaroos.
Yeah, they do that.
I've seen those videos on
YouTube.
No,
they don't.
They went around my school when we were younger. They were like, have you seen what's happening in Australia? And it's just these absolute units of guys going like, here we go. And they're drunk. And the kangaroo's probably a bit drunk as well. And
kangaroos
they're like,
are built too.
They are like.
They're stacked. Yeah, they're stacked. Like, I mean, not the tiny mice one apparently, but oh my gosh, that's intense. But you used to go to this place and the seal place in the UK.
Yeah, well, my family are very passionate about seals because there's a sanctuary. There's a sanctuary.
Where's this from? Like, who invented this in your family?
The passion for seals?
Yeah, and everyone's just sort of gone.
I think
on board.
My sister's a very strong force in our family, she's very passionate about animals. So now we all are.
Yeah,
as
that's
well.
Great. That's great.
So she's
glad she didn't get into drugs.
I know. God.
What a relief! What a relief!
She'd kill us all.
Yeah.
She there's a Cornish seal sanctuary.
Love it already.
Where they. Really? Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. They've had a couple of losses recently. Oh. But they take in they take in seals who have been injured and they keep them and they rehabilitate them and then release them again. But some of the seals are so injured that they put them in the tank called the unreleasables. Yeah. Which
fuck.
Just mangled seals.
So mangled.
I want to go.
Dramatic brain injuries.
Will you take me there when I'm in the UK?
We would be honoured.
Yeah,
we would be honoured.
I just lost Diego and Ray.
I believe
rest
that's where I would be.
What, in the unreleasable tank?
Well, I've had a lot of medical interventions as a human that fixed me up, but I don't imagine like, you know.
Honey,
I've been hit
it.
By five cars. I'd be in there.
Oh, you'd love it. Yeah.
At what point is it the cars that are hitting you and not the other way around? Is it three? Is it four cars?
Four.
Yeah, I think there's a point at which you have to be like, you have an issue with cars.
I'm cycling, so I maybe don't have a great... It's just odds. It's just odds. The odds.
Yeah, okay. Well, those are some bad odds.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So, you know...
Do you drive?
Now?
Yeah.
I didn't for a long time.
What age were you when you got your driver's license?
32.
I was 35. I got it last year.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Are you a good driver?
No.
You are. I think
okay. Well, it's what a roller coaster.
I can't drive, so I don't
know. Well, yeah, I can move the car, which Helen can't, but I recently reversed into a parked car. Whose fault was it? Who's to say? I was rushing. It came out of nowhere. It was stressful, but I called my dad, and he was very excited to be sort of back in the dad mode.
Yeah.
Which, because you don't really call your dad unless it's a car crash, do you?
I don't. Can I tell you more about the seals, please?
Yikes. I see that was a crazy question to ask.
No, my dad died.
I'm sorry.
Just died, so I've just made
I'm
it.
So sorry.
That's why I paused. I'm like, I shouldn't just go, dad's dead, because it would be funny to me, but then I'd put that, but I'd already put that feeling in the room. So then I just.
Then I'd laugh.
Nathan, we can cut the part where I mentioned dad. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. He was not great with cars.
Okay,
he used to do a thing called a technical tap. The car would break down and he'd just go and just get a wrench and tap the starter motor. And sometimes it would work. It worked enough times.
Wait, it worked. Feel right.
It worked enough times for us to believe in magic.
Holy shit, it worked sometimes.
Yeah, but not enough for us to feel confident.
But was he turning the car off and then turning it back on in order to do that?
Yeah, and then he'd just get out. Yeah, we had a wrench in the glove box.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to get a wrench for my glove box.
I don't know. Yeah. This was an old car. I think there's a lot more that different stuff goes wrong with a car.
All respect to your dead dad, but that doesn't feel right.
No,
you can just tap something with a wrench and be like, "We're all good."
It worked.
It works. It's a starting motor. It's a thing.
Wow, I definitely want to take you to the seal sanctuary now.
Yeah, please.
I feel like you might.
Well, yeah, you know that we know you're.
The unreleasable.
Dad's dead. We've got to take you to the seal sanctuary.
You can buy merch for all the unreleasables to support them.
Can you?
They've got their own line of like mugs,
magnets,
tea towels.
Like
magnets. Oh my God, Helen's obsessed.
I collect fridge
magnets.
Do you? How many do you have?
I don't have enough to have this conversation.
Okay. I wish I knew that. I would have brought you an unreleasable seal fridge magnet. There's one called Marlon that just lies there. He's blind and he cannot stop dribbling for the life of him. Bless him. Oh God. God, he's good. And the stories
dribbling. No,
it's clear when they're not in the water.
Really?
Oh yeah. Okay. But they will have their like stories and they're like, oh, like he got hit by a boat, and it's like, no, this sweet seal ran into a boat 100% full pelt.
I wonder if we put them on stage, they'd clear up.
100%.
Are you saying that all of the clans are broken people?
Under the footlights.
Under the oh my God, of course, they'd be Dr. Theatre would fix the seals. That'd be heaven.
Doesn't it also feel like so Australian to be like, they'd clear up. They've got significant mental and emotional health problems. These are genuine traumatic brain injuries. They'd clear up.
They'd clear it right up.
They'd really make a killing. They'd make
Work
a
for
killing.
Me. My PTSD's gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I sometimes think I don't have depression anymore, and then I get depressed again.
Yeah, but it's only on stage. You're like, I'm not depressed.
Right?
Yeah. Really?
I don't know.
Interesting. We have all these serious questions we said we were going to ask you. Let's fly through a few. Mm-hmm. How do Australian audiences compare to the UK? I have an opinion on this now that I've been here a month, but what do you think?
I think we'd have very different ideas because... being from a place helps.
Yeah.
But I sort of also think maybe Australian audiences don't want you to fail as much.
That's very interesting. That is so interesting. UK audiences...
For some reason, that felt like a judgment.
No, but they do feel like they... I think they do take themselves as sort of kingmakers, UK audiences.
Yeah.
They'll decide...
Which is fine.
So
we can work around all
that's
different
types. That's not fucking fine. Are you kidding? When I go back to the UK, go out thinking that they all want me to fail.
A little bit. But once you get there, they're fine. But it's just that sort of like, you know, think you're funny? I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
Australians are just like, oh my God, I'm already laughing.
I think that's the difference between Irish and English audiences too. Irish people are like, well, right now, let's have a good time. English people are like, we'll see.
Let's colonise this space.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
We did such a good job doing that. Don't say we weren't good at it though.
Come on,
you know, it wasn't
come
right,
on,
but my God.
Come
also
on.
Also remember that I'm not full English. I'm half German, so I'm half clean. So like, I'm not going to get fully dropped into that mess. Okay?
So did you just, what?
I'm just like, I'm not full English. I don't want you to be
Did
like...
Did you just drop Germany into that to make
it yeah. Yeah. Oh, you heard, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, but it was what you heard. I will say this, and I don't know if you will agree, and maybe it's a controversial, but we're leaving soon. So, but I think there feels like a... When men don't like my act here, they're furious.
Oh, I don't perform in front of many men these days. So.
Yeah, yeah. They've sort of culled.
You've made it.
They self-culled.
But that's what I was going to say, is they have self-culled for me in the UK.
Yeah.
But where they come in the UK, they'll occasionally be like, well, this is an accident, but a happy one nonetheless. Or like, not for me. But here, they're so mad at me.
Are they?
Yeah,
I'm
they're furious. They're furious. But I kind of
How
find it.
How do you know this?
Their faces, the words they say during my show, the messages they send me afterwards. It's like an anger I haven't sensed in a while.
What sort of anger? Like what words are they wrapping around?
Well, this has often been the case for me for stand-up, which is that like, maybe because of how I present, there's a point where like half an hour in, men will be like, well, the lady's been talking a long time now. I should probably talk. She's probably going to need some help. But I've had two men interrupt me with basically like how much they hate the show. And then...
What, during the show?
Oh, yeah. One man took an opportunity of a setup I did to be like, basically like, I was hoping you'd stop talking. And but his wife messaged me the next day to apologise, which is never a great sign when you have to write that message. You think, oh gosh, pack a bag, my love. But she sent a message that said, "Don't worry, my husband liked most of your show," which is so funny because it's like, oh, you actually think I care about the wrong thing here. But I guess I just sense like a sort of like, I guess I'm like, what's up with Australian men? There's like a feverish sort of rage that I haven't detected in a while. And I was wondering if, well, I don't know why I'm asking you.
Yeah.
I'm the last person to know what's up with Australian men.
I've not found that. That's insane.
Is this depressing? Shall we go back to Seals?
What time is your show?
7:25.
Oh, that's early.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's a late one.
No.
I don't know what's...
They come in hot.
What's your flyer? Like, you give... You put... You,
it's like very like...
Are they picking up the wrong thing?
That's what I keep thinking. I'm like, the show's like woman, queer, talking about queer woman stuff.
What's the name of your show?
Again with Feelings.
Yeah,
so
I
like
don't
truly,
know.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, it's not like bro.
No.
That's my show. It's wonderful.
Yeah. How do Australian men treat you?
They bloody love it. Yeah. I'm just getting sprayed. They're hosing me down.
Stop it.
Great time. Like, thank you for having me in your country.
I've got to get a hose.
About 9 in the night. It's been quite humbling.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wondered if you felt like that was a...
Are there Australian? There is a cross section of Australian men who have a seething anger.
Mm.
Yeah, probably unresolved trauma from World War One.
World War One.
Yeah, we just haven't dealt with it. It's rolled over from that.
Christ. Okay, so it's really not about me.
Trauma of World War One is still affecting Australian men.
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that's less about me than great. Yeah. Okay, woo. Yeah. Phew.
Was Australia
okay,
in World War One?
Mm, yeah, we were the shit before the shovel.
How?
Boats, I guess.
That's a lot of boating.
Yeah.
It's a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
What side were you on?
I mean, that's how we got here, the white one.
What side were you on?
The English.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Slay.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, but indeed.
Yeah,
they did.
We got, yeah.
I didn't know you guys did World War One.
Yeah.
I'm so into World War One and World War Two.
So into that you didn't know that the Australians were...
You don't get mentioned, Turkey, if I'm honest.
Yeah, but that's because you're English.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We talk about ourselves all the time.
Yeah. Everybody else talks about themselves and you guys only talk about yourselves.
Do you want to hear my favourite thing about World War One and World War Two? So they were like, oh, we can only have like tall men. And they were like, we need to have them all over like 5'9" because that's like what we see as soldier height. But then people were just getting killed so much. They had an awful time of it. They were like, oh, we need to get in more men. So they made 3 short battalions for the short kings. And they were like all 5'5" and under.
Yeah, they could run through the trenches.
No helmets issue. But could you imagine being a German soldier and being caught by the short battalion and they're all like, hi, hi.
That would be devastating.
Hands up. We can all like, it's just the best thing of all time.
It's actually gorgeous. I wish I'd seen them. That sounds
the
adorable.
The short battalion, they unfortunately all did die.
Good God.
Yeah. That's a classic war.
I thought you were going to say it's a short story. we have to do a problem from a listener.
I've got so much more to say about World War One.
I know you do.
Just to check, so you in Turkey?
Yeah.
Not you, but like, okay, cool.
Anzac.
The biscuit.
Hmm.
I've had that.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Can I ask one quick question before we move on to our listener problem? And it's because if I don't ask this, the lesbians will come for us in the comments.
Okay. Oh, no.
Obviously, you worked with Gillian Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I should technically ask you, like, by the way, you're so good in Sex Education.
Oh,
yeah, you're so good in it.
I will not watch it.
That's fine. Oh my God, unbearable. I wouldn't want to watch myself either, but you're genuinely brilliant in it.
Okay, good.
So
I trust the edit, you know?
Yeah.
You're so good in it.
Okay,
did you enjoy it?
This is the first I've really engaged with it.
Oh my God, I loved it. And also, you were such a treat because, yeah, you were very, very good and such a believable character and a version of something that, like, we all know. But did you enjoy the job?
What do you mean the version? Because you know who I modeled it on? My brother.
No way.
I'm like, I'm going to just act like my brother.
Well, I really saw that.
Does your brother know that?
No.
You should not tell him.
Oh, no, it's sweet. It's a character study.
That's such a funny character study. That's so, in a way, I'm intrigued to meet him. Is he around? Is he doing a show at the festival?
Oh, yeah, he runs a fruit and vegetable shop.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh my God, tell us after where. I'd love to go. I'm going to check him out.
Okay.
Be like, what's the deal? But wait, so did you enjoy working with Gillian?
I did. She's a real pro.
Yeah, I fucking bet she is.
Yeah.
Is she tiny in real life?
Yeah. I nearly broke her. Because there's a scene where
I don't think that made the edit.
I think it did, apparently, because it was, well, we're coming out of this radio station situation.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to just tap her on the back And that's when I called a little fella. And I was just, I got a bit too much behind it. And I lifted her off. Lifted her off her feet and just moved her forward a little bit. And she's like, whoa. And everyone's like, do that again. And she's like, yeah, do it again. And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't think we should.
Like, it felt.
I bruised someone the other day doing that. I just had to push past them in a doorway. But I like was like,
oh, that was a stranger.
One take. Oh, no, it was for like a filming for Esther Benito.
Oh, and, yes, another. Okay.
Yeah, she sent me pictures over the progress of a bruise over like a week. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's,
Jesus.
I'm 6'1. I'm quite built. Like, yeah, yeah, you will be injured around me. And that's not, you know.
Yeah, don't take it
I'm
personally.
Like a Lenny of my cement situation. Just hugging, you know.
Too hard.
Oh, I can't believe you lifted Gillian Anderson with just a tap on the back.
That's a cool story.
Yeah. So. Yeah, she was great. I professional.
Yeah.
In the zone. So yeah. There wasn't a lot of chit-chat.
That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
Would you like to do more acting?
Yeah, look, I don't think there's a lot. I don't have a lot of range. And I am not a stock character, you know what I mean? So I don't know how much is going to be out there for this guy.
Okay.
But
for your brother?
Yeah.
Maybe you guys could play twins one time. Do you look alike?
Jenny's laughing.
Jenny's like, Jenny, do they look alike?
All Gatsby's
kind of look alike. What a badass thing to say. But also what a spooky thing to arrive at if you meet your extended family and go, oh, there is eight of you.
From Tasmania, the gene pool's small.
I hear that. I'm from Ireland. I really get you. Yeah. Right, let's get into a listener problem. Before we do, what kind of advice giver would you say you are?
A little brutal.
Yeah. Do people come to you for advice?
No.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. All right, here we go.
I thought one of
That's
ask
the
you
first,
something.
But I've just... This is the first I've really acknowledged that.
Well, it's a way to set a boundary, isn't it? Be incredibly brutal and then people won't ask you.
Yeah, I feel like that's
Can
my life's
Can I ask
work.
You some advice?
Yeah, sure.
I need to think of it first.
Oh, sure.
I don't want it to be brutal.
Okay. All right, here we go. So this is from Kay. Hi, Kay. Here we go. I have suffered from social anxiety for as long as I can remember, and this is particularly triggered when I attend some kind of group class. I find it really hard to join in with others, so if people are talking together, I will just stand on the side awkwardly. I also fear looking stupid in front of others when trying something new. This recently came up when I wanted to try pole dancing again. Any experience with pole dancing?
No.
Yeah. That's okay, me neither.
Keep going.
Okay. I'd been a few times before a while ago with a friend and it was really fun, but this time I came alone and there were so many people in the class and everyone seemed to know someone else. As there were so many of us, we had to share a pole. Okay. And I just panicked after the instructor showed us the moves we needed to do because I didn't feel comfortable doing this with a stranger staring at me and waiting for their turn. So I just left without saying anything. And now I don't think I can return as the environment just made me so uncomfortable. Do I just need to suck it up and push through and hope I become more comfortable? Or should I try to find another class with just one person per pole? Should I get a pole at home and just use YouTube? Thank you so much for this podcast. This brings me lots of joy. I love you all. Wow.
Oh, so much to unpack.
There's a lot there.
I have experience with the pole.
Oh, you do?
So maybe I should go first. When I was 18, if there was a pole in a nightclub.
I need some context. How old are you now?
33.
Okay.
Just. It's my birthday 2 weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations. Are we still celebrating?
Ideally, yes.
Okay.
No, it's done. You have to call it and it's called.
Oh.
It's done.
Unkind, Catherine.
Sorry.
And I would sometimes dance on it and hope that people thought I had a mysterious past as a pole dancer. I don't know why. It felt important at the time as a teenager.
Did you know how to dance on it?
Not really, but I'm very confident
in
those sort of things.
Yeah.
And I've got really big breasts.
Yeah.
And like that will just
tell a story.
Yeah.
Tells a story.
If I'm 38 double J. So like if they're out, like in general, no
Were
one's
they out?
Really. Well, if I could, like they're just like low cut.
Yeah.
So that would be my experience. So I would say definitely, Kay, is it?
Yeah.
I'd say just do that.
I feel like you don't have social anxiety. Though.
There you go.
I do, and no one believes me.
Because you shout
me
at that.
I was telling Catherine this in the car over. I was like, I think I thought of a new bit of stand-up because like, I literally don't go out. I don't go drinking. I can't handle the groups. Like yesterday was the first time I found myself and like a big group of people outside of a show and I just like walked off down the road. I was like, I'm just not doing it. And like, but if I say to someone like, oh, I just don't, don't think I'm rude. I'm just not going to come out this week because I don't want to go and hang out with the groups. It's just too much. They just sort of go like, oh, no, you don't have social anxiety. But then when I tell people I'm a compulsive overeater, I'm not binging in front of them, but they believe that.
Any words you just said then, when you what?
How?
No, say it again. I need to catch up.
Okay.
When you had a da-da-da-da-da-da.
So.
No, I don't need the whole story. Just say the words again. When you had a something, something, something.
Oh, wait. So I tell someone I've got social anxiety, and they're like, no, you don't. But if I say like, oh, I've got like, if I'm a compulsive overeater, they go, slay 100%.
Right.
So why does no one believe me?
Hannah, it's a trap.
It's not a trap. I'm genuine. This is going to be brutal.
No, what's happening here is not social anxiety. It's group anxiety.
Ooh, interesting.
So it's because the dynamics of a group are so complicated and you have to keep track of stuff. And, you know, it's too much.
And someone always thinks you're being rude if you're not talking to them or you're ignoring someone or like.
Do they?
Do they? I don't know.
No, you don't know.
I don't know.
You're projecting.
Whoa.
But I don't have a projector.
Oh,
I'm projecting.
Yeah.
Maybe, group anxiety, social anxiety, is that not the same thing then?
Well, like, are you feeling anxious now?
Now I am. Because we're questioning it.
Well, but you weren't previously.
No.
So it's like, you can be social with a small amount of people that you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I struggle with that.
Oh, like that's social anxiety then.
Well, like this, I guess there's levels. I'm joking. Like this, like also
fight.
Also, it's just, like I don't really have. I don't think I have social anxiety. I have social confusion.
Mm.
So I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing, what I'm supposed to be saying, and I'm guessing all the time, and that makes me anxious. But just the idea of talking to someone doesn't, you know, it's just like. They're going to probably hate me anyway. So you just go a little dead inside. And
is that you projecting?
No, it's just doing math. So the chances are
that someone
won't like every, you know.
Won't like everyone.
Yeah. So sort of like you just go in with the law of averages. They're probably not going to like me. What are you going to do about it?
That's such a... intensely pessimistic view on yourself, though,
thank
right?
Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's not an.
But I like you, Hannah.
But thank you. But a group of people, like a class, doing something new adds a level of, especially with a bit of a spread eagle happening and the possibilities upside down on a pole.
Yeah,
that's a level of vulnerability. You probably don't want to be in a social situation doing that.
No.
Can I say though? I think the context actually skews the opposite way, which is to say that I think people who go to a pole dancing class are more open, more vulnerable, more inclusive, more open-minded than me, or indeed most people. Like if you're going to a pole dancing class, you probably either have confidence or are looking to engender confidence in yourself. Mm. So you're probably going in with a supportive mindset of other people.
Maybe it's like comedy. People think comedians are confident.
Yeah. But also I reckon you need a class with one pole per person, but that's just from my point of view of like hygiene. I think one pole per person is a reasonable rule. I don't want to be sliding down a pole. I mean, I don't want to be full stop. Oh god, that even made me feel anxious saying it.
Not but even as a fireman.
No. Oh my god, the pressure, too much.
Getting dressed quickly is the one that I
Yeah, it's never happening. Mm. So, although I do like the idea of having a uniform, not having to decide what to wear. But listen,
I'll
think...
be running into the blaze with the my boots on the wrong
foot. Oh, God.
Fucking clown.
No, one person would tell you it was a dog in there and you'd be dressed like that. Come on. I think you need a class with a pole per person so that this isn't an issue. I also think, like, I've walked out of classes before. As in, I've walked out of Pilates classes before when I've gone in thinking, like, I'm going to do this today. And then I get in there and go, I'm not in the mental space. I don't want to be in my body. I want to be a floating head today.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've left. And nobody else, the thing I will say to you is that in most exercise classes of any kind, people are so focused on themselves because of all the hang-ups and anxieties that causes. They won't even notice.
This is a comforting thing to just... like there's a good proportion of any group who has social anxiety.
Yeah, and those people are so focused on themselves. There's just no way they're noticing you or remembering you. Do you know, like they're just not.
Yeah.
But also, don't you think this person's like free time and this is a fun hobby and if it's going to bring you any sort of anxiety, then like go find somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like go enjoy yourself. This is the
life's hard enough. Home.
This is your fun thing. Just enjoy yourself.
Okay, but a pole in the home is a big commitment. A pole in the home is a phrase I didn't think I'd be saying so much today. But a pole in the home feels like a huge commitment. Where are you putting
get
that?
Get it professionally installed is
my 100%. Yeah, but what? Where are you putting that?
Middle of the kitchen.
Do you think?
100%. The slippiest floor. You've got the most time to kill. Something's in the microwave, something's in the oven, on the pole.
It's not time a bad logic.
Time is killed in the kitchen.
I don't really know. What are we doing on the pole?
What do we do? Spinning, rubbing, climbing, falling.
Thrusting, I guess. You're thrusting. Doing some thrusting.
You can thrust on a counter for free.
Have you seen J-Lo's routine in that film about something else, but we only watched the clip where she does the, yeah, yeah.
Wait, what?
That was such a lesbian nod. That was queer meets queer.
Wait, you've got to fill me in. What is
There's
this?
Some film about something, but J-Lo's a stripper in
Made
it.
In Manhattan.
No, she does a full pole routine. It's about some Bradley Cooper does something.
Doesn't he just?
But yeah, just wow. Just Google J-Lo's pole routine.
I don't know the film. Just
you're both really,
yeah,
your eyes are both lit up in a way that is.
Oh my God, it's phenomenal. So hey, listen, while you figure out where to put your pole, why don't you watch that?
I might watch it later. If this is bringing you anxiety and stress and this is your downtime, this is your fun thing, like let it be fun.
But
like,
sometimes anxiety hits you because you're in an unfamiliar environment. So yeah. It's like, you know, maybe try again.
Yeah. At least you know what you're getting yourself into this time.
Yeah,
that's a very good point.
I like the case of joint.
Give up and run.
I know what you mean about casing a joint. I think for, like, regularity and familiarity is pretty useful. But I do wonder if maybe I'm so, the idea of sharing a pole, I don't know why that feels so grim to me. But
because you're thinking of fluids.
Well,
you?
I have OCD, yeah.
Yeah.
All I can think of is the sound. You know, you get that like
skin on.
And I'm like, oh, a whole room full of that. No, thank you.
They didn't include that in the J-Lo clip. Maybe that's why they play the music so loud.
Yeah.
Checks out. God, she's good. What a woman.
Also, there's so many other exercise classes.
Still just Jenny from the Lord.
I think so, yeah.
You think?
I reckon so. Well, I haven't watched the documentary, but...
I feel like fame changes you.
Do you?
Yeah. How many times can you marry Ben Affleck and still just be from the blocks?
That's such a good question. Do you think fame's changed you?
Yeah, I'm struggling with it.
Really? It seems awful. No, well, like, no offense. It seems so bad.
It's weird. It just changes the way people treat you.
Do you think...
And I don't like change.
But do you think any of those changes are for the good?
It's probably neither here nor there, but the change itself is, I find it really hard to adjust to.
Jarring.
So it's like I spent probably 35 years of my life walking unseen into rooms.
Yeah.
And now that doesn't. But now it's like maybe I'm seen. Maybe I'm not. And then at the end of an interaction, someone goes, oh, big fan of your work. And I'm like, oh, I thought we were strangers. Which is fine. It's fine. It's all nice.
Hard.
But it's like just that sort of understanding how people see you is weird.
Yeah. And also, people put a lot more pressure on meeting you insofar as like it's your time. Like you're like having a day, but they're meeting Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah, I work very hard to disappoint people early.
Good for you. Good for you.
Sometimes I'll just say, I don't get any less awkward. And I go, oh.
Yeah.
Do you
all
ever
right,
just
noted.
Feel like just observed in general? Just there's eyes.
Not as much as I probably could be because I'm a bit oblivious. I can be in my own little world. Sometimes I say to Jenna, I was like, if I got something on my shirt, people keep looking at me.
And she's like, you're famous? Remember how you're famous? Were you 35 when you did Nanette?
No, 40 when I did Nanette.
Wow.
40. Wow. I saw it in the assembly.
Oh my gosh.
So good.
Like a tiny room.
I saw it.
You saw it live?
I saw it live in that room and I fucking loved it.
So was that when I had the wisdom tooth impacted? You know, I was doing Nanette when I had the impacted
Holy
wisdom
shit,
tooth.
It must
in
have
Edinburgh.
Been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God.
It was the worst. I was doing that show, which was a horrible show. Well, I mean, it's a great show. Good show. It's love it.
But hard to do,
Shout
I imagine.
Shout out to Nanette.
Shout out to Nanette. That's the clip. Shout out to Nanette. We hope she's well. We hope she's thriving. That's so funny.
But I was had to have a Calippo icy pole on stage. So it was just like.
Oh my God.
And then I went to a dentist. I was with Sarah Kendall.
Yeah.
Her dad's a dentist and he was in town. So we spoke to him.
Oh my God.
And then, so he's like, you've got to get it. You can't. you can't, this is bad. And then so rang up the dentist and got an emergency appointment. She said, oh, the only appointment time we have is 2:30.
I'm like,
I know. And I laughed. And no. I said, you're kidding me, right? She said, no, that's all we can offer you, okay? And I'm like, no, it's fine, but 2:30? So, yes, it's the only time where she was really angry.
She cannot have heard this for the first time.
I know. And what? I felt gaslit. And I'm like, 2:30 is like 2:30. And she's like, oh, we've just got a different sense of humor. And I'm like, oh.
Were you like, story of my life? She's come on. Alone.
I guess we have a distance. Live with the impacted wisdom tooth. It is
you
not
worth
going in.
You can't go to those
in.
People. That's like, to me, that's like, this dentist has no empathy. I can't go here.
Well, he didn't answer the phone.
Yeah, I guess. But, wow.
Anyway, so then he just took it out. Like, I don't remember giving consent. He's just got these big Scottish bear hands and just went in and just removed it like a fence post.
What, with his bare hands?
It just felt like, it was just like, you know, like a fence post, and just yanked it out. And it felt amazing immediately.
Really?
Yeah. And then for a day, and then I got dry socket. I don't know if you know about dry socket, but the clot that is healing it drops out. And then that's it. You've just got bone and nerves just out there to the Edinburgh wind. And so the last week of shows, I was living the misery.
Just like eat and drink on one side.
And the floodlights didn't help.
Do you think it made the performance better?
No. Well, more the
I don't know. I think with that show.
The distress.
I really feel like there was a good time to get it, and it was during that show.
That room is so small for that show, though.
Yeah. It was
which room assembly was
like
it?
50 people.
Yeah, and it was like a lecture hall.
And
almost,
everyone had a little desk.
Oh, yeah. Wait, yeah.
We sat at the desk. It really felt
assembly,
like.
Assembly, George Square.
It felt like the teacher was going off at you.
It really felt like tutorial time, but like the teacher has brought too much stuff to work.
Yeah, not enough boundaries, teacher.
You know what I mean?
There's so many, when you see a show in one of those rooms that's so good, but like it's too personal to like watch. It's so intense.
It felt like it. Someone kicked off at a family reunion.
Yeah.
You know, it was like,
yeah.
Oh,
it's a bit
angry.
Like. Well, I feel like because I'm doing my shows in the West at the minute, and it has a sort of, as you say, Hello Delegates quality. Mm. And it does feel like, yeah, you're supposed to be selling some sort of timeshare, but instead you're talking about your dad, and everyone's like, what? Why? Please stop. Yeah. It's intense. Well, oh my goodness, Hannah Gadsby, shout out to Nanette. What a pleasure to have you. Hey, I doubt there's anybody listening who wouldn't be able to find you. Well,
that's creepy, isn't it?
I know, isn't
physically
it?
Physically find you.
And I meant what I said.
Well, I know that I'm going to be at the seal sanctuary.
Just follow the floodlights, it's fine.
Follow the Cornish seal sanctuary, obviously. Yes. Always our shout out.
Listen for the sound of Rose shooting.
Yeah, follow the kangaroo carcasses. Yeah. Like Hansel and Gretel.
That's so dark. But wait, where the hell can people see you? Are you going on a European tour? A lot of our listeners will be in the UK. Are you going to be there anytime soon?
Yeah, I don't know if we've announced anything, but there's rumours.
Oh, there's rumours.
There's rumours I might.
All right.
You're going to come visit us, I can feel it.
I reckon you will.
Yeah, maybe just a holiday to see the
maybe
seals.
Just to Cornwall. Yeah, we'll meet you there.
You know, on the way down, we can stop at the donkey sanctuary.
Oh my God. How many sanctuaries are here?
So many.
Yeah. We're doing a sanctuary tour.
That would be heaven.
I'd love to take you.
Like an animal hospice tour. That's basically what it is. It's the donkeys and the seals, and there's something else.
Imagine that show,
those
suffering
are the
animals.
Best too. Which one are you thinking of? The Puffin Island, Lundy.
Is that?
Because the puffins are fine.
Okay.
They're not sick.
All right, they're just there.
I'm assuming you want to
they're
see the sick animals. That was,
oh my
okay.
gosh. Can I just say, thank you so much for doing our podcast. No one, we didn't think that you would.
Well, the people who approached us also said, you won't want to do this. And I think I might have a little bit of oppositional defiance. And I'm like, I will.
Yes. That's how we get all of our big guests from now. You'll never agree to this.
You'll
only the brave
them.
Do this podcast. Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Hannah Gadsby, everybody.
Shout out to Nanette.